You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. You know, when I was growing up, Christians had to wrestle with whether or not our convictions could withstand the threat of ridicule, though those days seem quaintly in the past. Increasingly, Christians are hated, they're fired, they're otherwise harassed on account of their principles. Particularly bewildering these days is how the loudest complaints against believers are for things considered mainstream just a few years ago. Just this week, in fact, the Alliance Defending Freedom came to the defense of a man in Vermont, fired after 10 years as a successful snowboarding coach. His crime was, quote, merely expressing his views that males and females are biologically different and questioning the appropriateness of a teenage male competing against teenage females in an athletic competition. For that, school district officials unconstitutionally fired him. Clearly, the district violated Mr. Block's First Amendment rights. And likely, given the legal track record of the Alliance Defending Freedom and other organizations like it, he will be vindicated in the end. Even so, this is another example of just what it feels like in this new cultural moment, in which the question of Christian courage is in the context of even more tangible pressures on our hearts and minds. And it's that context that's at the center of a conversation I will be hosting Thursday, July 27th at the 4th Annual Great Lakes Symposium on Christian Worldview to be held in Bay Harbor, Michigan. Now, if you happen to be in the area, there's still limited space available to join us in person or sign up to join us via live stream. Either way, there's no charge for this conversation that features two Christians who are leading the way into this brave new moment. Kristen Wagoner is the CEO, President, and General Counsel of the Alliance Defending Freedom. Jim Daly is the President and CEO of Focus on the Family. You know, for years now, Kristen has successfully advanced legal protections for religious liberty. Most recently, she represented Lori Smith of 303 Creative in a landmark victory for free speech at the Supreme Court. However, for her efforts, Kristen has been unfairly attacked for years, lied about as recently as last week by media outlets, fellow lawyers, even the Attorney General of Colorado. This past fall, Focus on the Family's grounds were vandalized by activists. The perpetrators falsely and unfairly blamed Focus on the Family for the then recent murders at a local Colorado Springs gay club. Those accusations have been repeated in media outlets and by critics as recently as last week. Now, this brave new world of hostility is familiar for our brothers and sisters elsewhere in places like Nigeria, India, China. Ours are more experiences of a series of horrible moments, like what happened earlier this year in Nashville. Christians in the West do not usually fear for their lives. Even so, something's clearly shifted here. The calls to tolerate the views of others are about as 1990s these days as talking about abortion being safe, legal, and rare. As we've seen in Nashville, it's a perilously small step from the rhetorical games of wanting to punch literal Nazis in the face to literally punching those who dare stray from the cultural narratives. The only way forward for the Christ follower today is to commit ourselves again to knowing what's true, to saying and living what's true, even if there's a cost, and to say and live what's true in a way that is distinctly Christian and pleasing to Christ. In other words, faithfulness today has to involve both the what we believe and the how we'll live it out. I don't know anyone I'd rather have that conversation with than Kristen Wagoner and Jim Daly. So please join us for the Great Lakes Symposium on Christian Worldview, Thursday, July 27th. You can sign up to attend live or to join the live stream by visiting ColsonCenter.org/Great Lakes. That's ColsonCenter.org/Great Lakes. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. Today's Breakpoint Commentary was co-authored by Dr. Timothy Padgett. For more resources to live like a Christian today, go to Breakpoint.org.
Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
See, that's the dichotomy we're facing. Here's my faith. It's privatized. It's personal. Oh, but out in the world, I'm not going to express my faith, and therefore eyewitness is amputated from life. And it must not be. And if there's ever a time for boldness, it is now for us to put on that girdle of truth, for us to know that we have that vest of righteousness that Christ has given to us. And we put on the shoes of peace because we know we have purpose in this life. What is our purpose? To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's our witness. That's our walk. We can't let that be stripped from us as it's happening in our society. It's say, well, what's the end result of all this evil that we see? It is destroying the basic Judeo-Christian culture of America.
The truth is, you can't go into battle half-dressed. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young concludes his message, Battle Armor, showing you how every single day you must put on the full armor God has provided if you're going to keep safe from the devil's attacks. It's powerful advice you'll want to hear, so stay with us. Before we get to today's message, we want to send you a special resource that explores God's key promises for your life called Living Under the Rainbow. This 275-page hardcover book will show you that God's promises aren't otherworldly utopian ideals, but real, practical, and for use in the here and now. We'll send you Living Under the Rainbow as our thanks for your gift to keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today and request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. And thank you for helping reach more people in 2023 with the proven truth of God's Word. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is winningwalk. That's winningwalk. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Battle Armor Part 2.
In Christ, we're right with God, right? Isn't that great? In Christ, we can get right with ourselves. In Christ, we can get right with everybody else. And that's what we put on. And when people look at you and me, they need to see there is somebody who is right with God, right with themselves, and seeks to be right with everybody. That is that righteousness. That is our identity. What are you known as? What's your identity? Well, I'm this, I'm that. No, what are you known as? We need to be known as simply soldiers marching in the different direction of the stream of this world who put on Jesus Christ. And you see that in this protects our heart and our emotions. See, that's what the vest does. It protects us so we can be protected from the darts, from the evil one that comes. And it's already on us if we're in Christ. We have to recognize it. Have to recognize it. Then what's the next thing that we put on? We put on the shoes of peace. Wait a minute. Well, you're going to need shoes, you're going to battle. I wouldn't recommend going to battle barefooted, would you? That's not a very good idea. And so you put on shoes, but these shoes are peace. That seems contradictory. You see it? I'm going to war, I'm battling with evil in the world, but I'm putting on peace. How does that work? What gives a warrior peace? You know what it is? Purpose. You can fight when there's a reason to fight. You can go to war when you know there's a purpose bigger than you understand, but a clear purpose as what's going to happen. Therefore, we put on the shoes of peace. It says we've got purpose as we go out to battle, as evil comes in contact with us. Purpose, purpose. And what's happened in our society, in our culture, is that as we have been prohibited by spurious law and judgment from going out in the world with purpose, saying, I am on the side of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Like, shh, 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 you can't say that, school. Shh, oh, don't bring it up in the business. Shh, oh, don't bring it up in the little league. Shh, no, keep all that. See, the world wants us to privatize our faith. The world says, you keep your faith inside the church, and don't bother us out here. We're going to strip everything in this world of God, of Christ. We privatized our faith. I remember Mario Cuomo, when he was governor of New York, they asked him about pro-life. Was he pro-choice or pro-life? He said, well, I'm pro-life because the Catholic Church teaches the reverence of life. He said, but that's my private faith. He said, in my public faith, I'm pro-choice because I want all my constituency, the woman, to have the right to choose. See, that's the dichotomy we're facing. Here's my faith. It's privatized. It's personal. Oh, but out in the world, I'm not going to express my faith, and therefore our witness is amputated from life. And it must not be. It cannot be. And if there's ever a time for boldness, it is now for us to put on that girdle of truth, for us to know that we have that vest of righteousness that Christ has given to us, and we put on the shoes of peace because we know we have purpose in this life. What is our purpose? To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's our witness. That's our walk. We can't let that be stripped from us as it's happening in our society. Say, well, what's the end result of all this evil that we see? It is destroying the basic Judeo-Christian culture of America, the foundation upon which this nation came into being. What is culture? Good question. Culture, simply defined, is the glue that holds common values together. Did you get that? You need to know that. Culture is the glue that holds our common values together. And what's happening today is our culture is being disintegrated. It is being taken from us. You say, well, what do we do about it? We go to the Bible, and you know, I've said this tentatively. Let me say it clearly. The Old Testament tells us how God dealt with evil in that day. Right? That's the Old Testament. These are stories of God's hand in history dealing with evil in that day. You can look a little slice of biblical history here, and it's so very, very important. Go to 2 Kings chapter number 21. And you have here the Hall of Fame. You have a wonderful king in Hezekiah, godly king. 50 years later, you have a godly king in Josiah. You would think in that little interim period with these two Hall of Fame kings mentioned in the middle, you'd think that'd be biblical prosperity and honesty and integrity, but that's not what you find in the middle. You find the reign of Manasseh, and Manasseh brought evil in the land of Israel and changed the whole culture of Israel. You have the Hall of Fame, two of the kings, in the middle you have the Hall of Shame. And look what the story is of Manasseh. It will sound familiar to us. Verse 21, it says, he did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the abominations of the nations, whom the Lord dispossessed before the sons of Israel. For he rebuilt the high places, pagan altars, which Hezekiah, his father, had destroyed, and he erected altars for Baal and made an Ashtaroth, as Ahab the king of Israel had done, and worshiped all the host of heaven and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, pagan altars, of which the Lord had said, in Jerusalem I will put my name. Verse 5, for he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts in the house of the Lord, pagan altars. And he made his son pass through the fire. He sacrificed his own son to fire. He made his son to pass through the fire, practiced witchcraft and used divinations and dealt with mediums and spiritualists. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking the Lord to anger. This is the reign of Manasseh. Now, what did he do in his day that brought evil and destruction into Israel? Number one, he tore down fences. He tore down walls. He tore down boundaries. Ladies and gentlemen, when you take down a fence, you better do it real, real slowly, because you better think why that fence was put up there in the first place. And when Manasseh began to throw out the Ten Commandments and the worship in the temple And he began to say, we live in a pluralistic society. I want all these pagan gods and goddesses to be honored, and I'm going to worship them. We're going to put altars in the house of God. We're going to compromise. We're going to be open up our society to anything and everything. It's not just tolerance. It's total acceptance. It's okay. One God is as good as another God. How many times have I heard that? How many times have I heard, you know, there's no difference in Allah and God. We're about to figure out there's a little difference, wouldn't you say, ladies and gentlemen? So this is what we're dealing with. Manasseh just took down fences. All the moral standards, all the things, all we accept everybody, everybody come in, do whatever they, not just tolerance, but acceptance. See, there's a difference. We're tolerant, but we don't accept. We don't take away the moorings of the Constitution and the bylaws, and we no longer have to worry about saying a pledge to the flag, one nation under God, individual liberty. Oh, no, you can't say, listen, this is who we are. This is the pillars upon which America was founded and the pillars upon America was staked. You can't argue with that. Read the Federalist Papers. We are a nation under God. And you start taking down fences, you better figure out why those fences were there in the first place. When you stand against the Ten Commandments, remember, you don't break the Ten Commandments. I don't break the Ten Commandments. They break you and they break me, and they will break our nation. Number one, Manasseh took down fences. Number two, Manasseh, what did he do? Sacrifice the children. Sacrificed his own child to a pagan god or goddess in the valley of Gehenna, which is right there in Jerusalem. It means hell, fire, hell. And can you imagine? They said when they would bring all their children down, which had great value, and they would take them and let them roll out of their arms into those pagan altars and sacrifice those children. There were all kinds of crying and moaning by those children. Some were not just babes, some were older. They would give their children to these pagan gods and goddesses, and all the pagans around would beat on drums. And they would just shout and do things like that to drown out the cries of the children. Well, what about America? A life is taken in a mother's womb in America, 1,233 every day. Since Roe versus Wade, 1973, over 57 million children, babes, have been killed in their mother's womb. That's metropolitan Houston about 16 or 17 times if we have 4 million lives killed. Today in America, of all the young people 30 and under, females, 7 of 10 of them have had an abortion. You can tell the direction a nation is going to go by how they treat their children, how they love their children, how special their children are. How sacred indeed is the gift of life. Israel began to be destroyed from within because Manasseh took down fences and Manasseh sacrificed children, even his own child. And the third thing he did, he silenced the voice of the prophets. Extra biblical literature tells us that as Isaiah was speaking against the decadence of Manasseh cut off the head of Isaiah, says extra-biblical literature, with a wooden saw. Heard anything like that recently? Heard anything like that recently? To silence the voice of those who will speak out and speak truth into the culture. America, we said, we're a melting pot. That used to be, now we're a salad. Used to be, you know, I came, my daddy was second generation German. My mother, third generation Scot-Irish. I stand up here and I'm not German or Scot-Irish. That's a part of my background and there's some cultural things there. You know, I'm just, I was born, and I'm all of that. I've melted into that. You know, I've melted away all that. I'm an American, and you see different culture today. You know, the culture of Texas is not the culture of my home state of Mississippi. We have different cultures. Years ago in Berkeley, there was a young student there who was 19 years old. She was born in Shanghai. She was from Russian descent. She's at Berkeley getting an education, brilliant girl, but she had a vivacious personality. She was flirtatious. You know, she loved everybody. She'd hug and kiss the guys, and she bounced around, and that's just her personality. But she met a young Asian student there. He's from a different culture, and in the process, she would just hug and kiss him, and, you know, just casually with a group. And he misinterpreted that. He felt that, you know, they had a romance going. And so then, as far as she's concerned, out of the clear blue, he proposed marriage to her. She was stunned. She said, "Are you joking, or are you?" And she sort of laughed at him and joked and put him down, and he felt totally humiliated. He felt totally embarrassed. And then all of a sudden, he became so depressed, he became violent and took her life, killed her. In the trial, his lawyer pleaded insanity and added to it, this was simply the clash of two cultures. One culture saw romance, the other culture saw friendship, and it was the clash of two cultures that led to the death of this student. See, the closer all the cultures of the world come to us, the closer we get to one another, the more there is a clash of culture. Unless a Christian man was visiting Romania right in the middle of the Cold War, when Romania was run by a godless Marxist dictator, and if you mentioned God or Christ, he would either take you out or put you in prison. And in this situation, this Christian man was walking down the streets, wrapped up. It was cold, wind was blowing, and by himself, he was there on business, and he saw the faces of all those hopeless Romanians, cold, empty, lost, no hope at all, emptiness under that dictatorship, that godlessness, that poverty. But as he walked through, suddenly he passed a man, and the man was whistling. He's whistling Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. And so he turned around, and he didn't want to just interrupt him. He didn't know he was being watched as an American there. So he came behind him and walked by him. He started whistling. And the man looked at him, and he began to speak to him, and he saw that he didn't understand him. And then he said, almost as if we had planned it, together we said, and he said, we embraced, and said, he went off whistling, and he said, I went off whistling. He said, all of a sudden, language, race, culture, background, economics, everything was totally disappeared because we were brought together in Jesus Christ. That is the answer, ladies and gentlemen. No matter where we're from, what our background, what country, what nationality, it doesn't make any difference. In Jesus Christ, we are brought whole again together in Him as our Lord and as our Savior. Now, in the meantime, in this culture, we need to not walk around with light armor and mud flaps. That's not going to get it. We're going to see how we put on the whole armor, completely clothed with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when that happens, there will be a healing. There will be a battle that has already been won. By the way, I should not tell you this. This is getting, not next week, but the week after. This is a secret, but we're going to experience total victory when we go to the cross. Sunday after next, don't get ahead, and we're going to see a victory that we've never seen, even if we visited the cross before. But that's just a secret. Don't let that out. In the meantime, light armor, mud flaps, not enough. We're going to put on the whole armor, which is Jesus Christ, and we'll be able in an evil world to be the difference makers in bringing people together, in defeating evil, and claiming victory, full victory, as we stand, as Paul said, as we stand in Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Well, before we end today's program, it's great to have Dr. Young in the studio with us to answer a quick question today. Dr. Young, is the fight against Satan usually a personal one-on-one battle, or should we be working together with other believers to repel the enemy?
It's both and. Sometimes the battle is one-on-one, it's private, it's unknown, and then we have to draw on the resources individually of our walk with Christ. It is the Bible, it is prayer. And then finally, there's fellowship. There is the koinonia, there's the family of faith, there's the church. And so often we go there to brothers and sisters in Christ, and we confide in them. We ask them to guide and strengthen us, to lead us through this valley of the shadow of death, which is the valley of the shadow many times of temptation. So it's individual and it's corporate. And if we're going to win this battle, we can't do it alone. We have to do it in the fellowship of other Christians who are in the body of Christ. So it seems to be lonely, but it's really not. Because God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is on our side, plus the whole realm of brothers and sisters that we are part of in the family of faith.
That's very helpful. Great. Thanks, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. And we hope today's message has encouraged you to build your life on the proven truth of God's Word. We'd love to help you stand firmly on the truth of God's promises, full of confidence, boldness, and hope, with Dr. Young's resource, Living Under the Rainbow. In this 275-page hardcover book, you'll discover that God's promises, wrapped up in His salvation covenant through Jesus Christ, aren't otherworldly utopian ideals, but real, practical, and for use in the here and now. So call now to request Living Under the Rainbow as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call us at 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. We're glad you joined us today. Come back tomorrow as Dr. Young begins his message, Know Your Weakness, and shares proven truth to help strengthen your walk with Christ where it needs the most support.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world. Connect with us at winningwalk.org. That's winningwalk.org.
Marshall Donor AC and Appliance in Orlando reminds listeners that when properly maintained, the life expectancy for commercial and residential HVAC systems is 15 to 20 years. Without regular maintenance, that number can drop. If you're considering the DIY route to repair your unit, it could be very costly in the long run. That's why it pays to call your local trusted heating and air specialist at Marshall Donor AC and Appliance. Call 407-415-4044 for Marshall Donor AC and Appliance in Orlando.
You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of the Bard.
Dr. Tony Evans says when we focus on ourselves, it's difficult to see the connection to our calling.
Your calling is always linked with the kingdom of God.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Some people never seek God's plan for their lives because they're afraid He'll ask them to go somewhere or do something they couldn't stand. But today, Dr. Evans looks at how God connects our purpose to our passion. Let's join him as he begins.
People without their call always are living looking for something more. They know that life has got to have more than what they're experiencing. Today, I want to talk about your passion and your call. Now, everybody has a passion. Everybody doesn't have it the same way. Everybody doesn't express it the same way. But everybody has at least the potential for fire. Passion has to do with your spiritual intensity, the fire within, that thing that causes you to burn. I've seen folk who told me they weren't emotional at a basketball game or football game and it was a great play, and they like to knock me simple. Because given the right set of circumstances and the right environment, the dullest people you know will find some fire. What is passion? Generally, we talk about intensity or fire. When I add the spiritual component to it, it is the God-given capacity to fervently attach ourselves to something, to someone, over an extended period of time in order to meet a need. Romans 15, verse 20 puts it this way. Paul, speaking of his own calling, if you will, and thus I aspire to preach the gospel, not where Christ was already named, that I might not build up another man's foundation. The word aspired there means deeply desired in Romans 15, 20. Deeply desired. He deeply desired to proclaim it because a passion is a fire. He says in 1 Corinthians 9, 16, woe is me if I don't do this. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 20, verse 9, it was like God's word was like fire in my bones. And when I tried not to do it, I couldn't because it was too hot. Passion is that which burns within you. Passion wakes you up at night. Or maybe keeps you from going to sleep in the first place. Passion is the fuel of calling. It is the fuel of your calling. Paul's passion was to preach the gospel. Now, your attitude about that may be, well, he was in the ministry. He was supposed to have one. No. We've already seen every Christian is gifted. Every Christian is called to be involved in God's eternal drama. If you've been in love, you know passion. If you've been in love, you know about the fire within. On the human level, relational passion. In fact, when you're in love, other folk who don't want to know it, know it. You be talking about folk don't want to hear about, showing pictures folk don't want to see. Supposed to be working, you on the phone, because passion has taken you over. Jesus put it this way, the zeal for God's house hath consumed me. That's passion. You pull up to McDonald's, and you're driving through. Let me have another number nine. I know number nine. I always get the same question. What's the question? Do you want to supersize? That's the question. Answer? Absolutely. Do you want to supersize it? Absolutely. Supersize that, throw a pie in there too. When offered the opportunity to supersize, why stick with regular? Trying to turn this into an illustration. Stick with me. Too many of us are living regular lives when God wants to supersize. We're satisfied with regular. regular job and a regular this and a regular that, when God wants to take that thing and he wants to expand it into something bigger, it's called the call. And you always know it, because once you get in line with it, the fire begins to burn. So what is passion? It is that fervency to attach ourselves to something or someone over an extended period of time in order to have a need met. Now that we understand what it is, I want to talk more specifically now about the perspective in this passion, its derivation, if you will, its duration, its tenure. Ecclesiastes was written by a very passionate man. In fact, Solomon was a player. The man was a player. The Bible says he loved many women. He's a regular love machine. He is an insatiable romantic. The Song of Solomon outlines his ability to romance. He makes a statement in chapter 3, verse 11, that helps us to connect passion with calling in terms of derivation or tenure or timing. He spent the first 8 verses saying there's a time for everything. Then he says he has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart, yet so that no man will find out the work which God has done from the beginning to the end. God has set eternity in men's hearts. That's the phrase I want. Eternity in the heart. Men without God have eternal questions they can't answer. Who am I? Why am I? Where am I going? Where did I come from? You went to college, you studied philosophy. If you're like me, you didn't like it. Some people like it. I didn't like philosophy. Because here these brilliant people asking questions they can't answer. Okay? So it didn't lead anywhere. It's you know, Hegelian thought, thesis, antithesis, hypothesis, and going into Kierkegaardianism and Kantism and all of these isms that will be wasms when all this stuff gets straight. But men have eternity set in their hearts. McDonald's may want to supersize you. God wants to eternalize you. Now here's the secret to your calling and its passion. Whenever you seek your calling from the perspective of time rather than the perspective of eternity, you live life on regular. Life is flat because God has set eternity in your heart. See, all of us have this one ominous thing hanging over us. Let me tell you, we all have it. I don't care who you are, how good you are, what you do, how much you have. We all have this one big neon sign all over us, and it reads, temporary. If you haven't discovered this yet, either you're not very old or not very smart. It's all temporary. The movie star is a star, temporarily. It's going to end, they're going to get old, somebody younger is going to take their place. It's temporary. You put all those years into raising your kids, they become an adult, go out on their own, don't need you anymore, forget where you live, forget your phone number, tell they need money. Last year's champion is this year's ex-champion. This year's has been. You finally get what you want, only to discover you want it new and improved. You want something better. Today's front page star becomes tomorrow page 20 footnote. I don't know whether it's ever bothered you, but it sometimes bothers me. It's all temporary. You know? Now, we've done some great things in the church. God's been very kind to us. Temporary. Temporary. One day somebody's going to replace me. I'm going to be in a box up here. You all better be here. No friendship, no relationship, no ownership, no fellowship can satisfy you because they're all temporary. all of it. God has set eternity in our hearts. That is, life can only be lived with an eternal perspective in mind. So what does God do? Well, you don't have to turn there. Deuteronomy 8 says this is what he does. He makes you hungry. Now, what happens when you are hungry? That means you become passionate for food. You ever been really hungry? Showing up 3 o'clock in the morning, can't sleep, kind of hungry. Can't sleep, kind of hungry. Go to the refrigerator. Wife hadn't bought anything. Oh, Mother Hubbard went to the cupboard. Get a poor doggy a bone. Dog can't eat, you can't eat. And the fast foods are closed. Those are times you will literally hurt somebody. You know why? Because you are hungry. Folk get evil when they get hungry. Folk get nasty when they get hungry. You know why? Because hunger produces passion. That's why. He says in Deuteronomy 8, God let you be hungry. Why did he tell them? He let them be hungry so he could show them bigger things. He connected their passion or hunger for something. A coach will ask his football players, how hungry are you? He's not talking about steak and potatoes. He's talking about how hungry are you to win? How hungry are you to compete? How hungry are you to be out front? How hungry are you? How hungry are you to know your call? Or have you been busy squelching your passion, therefore missing your call? You know what Mary said, the mother of Jesus? When she found out she was pregnant with this miracle child, she says, in Luke chapter 1, verse 53, I believe, she says, you have filled the hungry with good things. Now she's talking about herself. Why did God choose this teenager named Mary to be the virgin mother of the Savior? She was hungry. She was hungry for God. She was so hungry for God that she got the call. She was hungry. So my question as we talk about calling is, what are you hungry for that has eternity connected with?
Coming up in just a moment, Dr. Evans will help us answer that question as he teaches us how to spot God-given passion in our lives. Stay with us.
How can we do an act that lifts the spirit, that picks up a broken heart? Because that's what kindness is, and that's what kindness does.
Dr. Evans wants you to lift the spirits of others. Look for ways to help someone else by doing a nice thing and offer to pray for them. Then share a kindness card with them. Each card has a QR code that leads to the gospel and spiritual growth tools. Visit TonyEvans.org to request your cards today. Be kind. Change culture.
And TonyEvans.org is the place where you can find out more about Dr. Evans' latest book that reinforces the material he's been covering in today's message. It's called Kingdom Purpose: Discovering Your Calling in God's Great Design. As we've been learning, God has a unique purpose and calling for each of us. And when we apply our gifts and talents to His kingdom plan, we find satisfaction, success, and fulfillment. This book and the Called for a Purpose 12-message audio collection can help you discover how to do that. And they're both available to you for a limited time as our thank you gift when you make a contribution to help keep Tony's teaching coming to this station and others like it around the world. Find out more when you visit TonyEvans.org. Just look for the offer on the homepage about the Called for a Purpose special package. As a part of that package, you can even request a book designed especially for young kids called My Biggest Questions About God. It's a hardcover picture book that'll help 4 to 8-year-olds gain a better understanding of who God is and why they can trust Him with their lives. Be sure to take advantage of this special offer today at TonyEvans.org or give us a call at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our friendly team members assist with your request. They're ready to help 24 hours a day. I'll repeat that contact information for you after part two of today's message. Here's Dr. Evans.
All through the Bible, it says God stirred men's heart. He stirred them up to do something bigger. He stirred up their hearts, it says. to do the work on the house of God or to build the community back. He says, and God stirred their hearts. Ezra 1, Haggai 1, God stirred them and stirred them and stirred them. That's passion. Passion is when God stirs your heart. Any of you live with anybody, any people who stir up stuff, create mess, you know? You always start something, right? When God creates a passion, he stirs something. He stirs up this burning desire, and all of a sudden, you notice that whatever this stir is matches your gifting. That's what you're looking for. That the thing you're stirred up for is also the thing you can do, or the thing you have the potential to be able to do. You say, but how do I know what my passion is? Many people don't know it because they've simply never asked some key questions like, what makes me laugh or what makes me cry? When things bring out your emotions, they need to be checked out. They could very well be your passion. When they bring laughter out of you, you find great joy in their presence, thinking about it or doing it. You got to check that one out. That well could be your passion. Or breaks your heart. It brings tears to your eyes. When you see that thing over there, when you see that child, you weep. When you see that thing turned around, you laugh. Other people would see it and feel bad, but it doesn't stay with them. Because remember, passion always has tenure. Passion is never a passing ha-ha. You can't stop laughing. You can't stop crying because it is all consuming. Is there an area of interest that you just can't shake? If it wasn't for money, family, or time, is there something in your life that you would go and do? If it wasn't for family obligations, money, or the time, and you could chuck it all away and go do it, what would that be? Because many times we use those as an excuse for not following our dreams and fulfilling our passions, when they are never meant to be an excuse. Oh, they may be an excuse for how you do it. It may be an excuse for how fast you can do it, but it has nothing to do with your passion, your burn. Do you have a secret ambition? Maybe you haven't told anybody. It's just deep down. You think about it, you may say, oh, you could never do that. You know you could be saying never to God. Let me tell you a secret. Unless you pursue your passion, you're gonna die. By that I mean you're gonna shrivel up and die. I don't mean physical death necessarily. I'm just talking about you're gonna exist. You're just gonna get up and go to work and come home and look at television and go to sleep and get up and go to work and come home and look at television and eat and go to sleep. You know, it's going to die. Die. Even as a Christian, you're just not going to. Because you're not fulfilling your calling because you're not listening to your passion. But God stirs the heart. And it's like marriage. The passion that you had when you were dating. You say, what happened to that? Simple. That's not a hard answer. What happened to the fire? Same thing that happened to the fire in your fireplace, left unattended. It dies. You go to bed and leave the fire on. Okay? You're not going to find one in the morning because passion has to be cultivated to stay hot. Most guys, they date to marry. Wine them and dine them and pull a chair out and open the car doors and compliment and whispering and surprise notes and unexpected flowers and compliments when none are deserved. And That's true. She gets up in the morning, hasn't done her hair, hasn't brushed her teeth, you know. Basically, a disappointment here, all right? And in spite of that, you look over and say, you're the prettiest thing I have ever seen in my life. Passion left unaddressed dies. Or it may not die, it just stays squelched. So, how do we connect this thing of passion with eternity so that we get clarification on calling? Well, remember our definition of calling. It's your customized purpose for which you have been ordained and equipped, but here it is, to service the kingdom of God. Because remember, it has an eternal perspective, always. Your calling is always linked with the kingdom of God. Once you extricate it from the kingdom of God, you may not have any idea what it is, which is why most people don't know their calling. Why don't most people know their calling? Because of me-ism. I'm living here to make my money. I'm living here to buy my house. I'm living here to drive my car, raise my kids. I'm here to make my mark. And the kingdom of God is nowhere to be found. Jesus said it, Matthew 6:33. He makes it absolutely clear. Seek ye what? First. Seek ye what? First. One more time. Seek ye what? First. Not seek ye when you have time. Not seek ye when there's leftovers. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, stuff, will be added to you. Now, that's not what we do. We seek first the stuff, and if there is anything left over in my time, talents, and treasures, then the kingdom may have them. God will never show you your calling if it's not first. It's got to be first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. In other words, the promotion of God's glory and God's program. Thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory, forever and ever, amen.
Dr. Tony Evans, encouraging you to step out in faith in order to ignite your passion. Part of a series called For a Purpose. This entire teaching series is available for you to own as digital files for playback on your audio device or in a 2-volume 12-lesson CD set. This collection contains plenty of bonus material we won't have time to present on the air. And for a limited time, we'll say thanks for your donation to the ministry by sending you the entire Called for a Purpose audio collection, along with a copy of Tony's latest book, Kingdom Purpose, as well as the optional children's picture book mentioned earlier, My Biggest Questions About God. Make the arrangements today by visiting tonyevans.org or reach out to one of our helpful team members by phone. They're available 24/7 to help with your resource requests. Just call 1-800-800-3222. Again, 1-800-800-3222. Or again, visit us online at tonyevans.org. God not only wants you to follow his plan for your life, he wants you to be excited about it. Tomorrow, Dr. Evans will look at how to ignite your passion for God so his priorities become your vision. I hope you'll be with us for that. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.
You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.